Blog Talk Radio.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, I know I can be strong.
Well, good evening and happy Shabbat to one and all. It's my pleasure to be with you. We've got both Kirk and JB here with us this evening. JB, if I were to ask you to name your favorite prophecy, what might it be?
That's tough.
Kirk, while he's thinking, what are some of your favorite prophecies?
Well, the ones that prove the science of it all are always real popular with me, and also, but end time prophecies are my favorites. There's quite a collection of those, and some we're going to talk about, I hope, tonight. So, yeah,
I think I have a new favorite. It's Yashaya 29.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's actually a parallel prophecy. Yashaya revealed it in around 700 BCE. It was followed around 450, 475 BCE with Malachi. Malachi 4 and Yashaya 29 are parallel. It's the same series of events. There's some really delicious details in the Malachi 4, but we're going to go through in Yashaya 29. And the reason that we're taking this bit of a detour from where we were, which was completing and reviewing the 132nd Mizmor, which is powerful, is that this prophecy explains what we're going to experience in the last days, what things we should be very careful of, how we got here, why our message is so divergent from that of the rabbis, and why I think it explains why us. Why is God serving up notice to Yehudim, Jews, on a goyim platter? And it explains why. And so I want to go through it systematically. And this is one of the places where I think the statements that Yah's revealing benefit tremendously from commentary. I'm not claiming that everything I'm writing is precisely accurate. I'm not claiming that I understand it all. But this is a really challenging text to translate, because the implications, at least I think the implications, are the opposite of what you find in English Bibles. And the insights you can draw from it are amazing, I think, if you get it right. So I think this is one of the places we're tremendously rewarded. So I was originally in the process of translating, which I think is the eighth chapter. There's a four-part prologue to Yada Yada on the new version. The first volume of Yada Yada, there's a four-part prologue, followed by a number of chapters, and I was just completing the eighth chapter, which is called Shabbat, in volume one of Yada Yada. And there was a reason to address a statement that we've covered before in Yada Yada 29, which explains that the fear of God is a man-made tradition taught by rote. And we've covered that a number of times. Well, as I was writing about that in the chapter, there was another reference in Yahweh's presentation of Shabbat to this prophecy in Yeshayahu 29. And I said, you know, I think I need to cover it.
Read this, huh?
And then I said, you know, okay, where do I jump into this? Because I don't like to just cite a line from any prophetic text because context is so essential to our understanding. So I started reading it again from the beginning through the end. And I said, I think not only do I need to translate this whole thing, but I think we need to introduce the entire Yada Yada series with this prophecy. And it is something which I think is especially pertinent to our target audience, Yehudim Jews, something they should know, even though much of what they are going to hear will make them feel very uncomfortable. This prophecy may be the most revealing ever written regarding the last days, especially in denoting how we got to this place. Through the prophet Yeshayah, freedom and salvation are from Yahweh, commonly known as Isaiah. Yahweh spoke to his wayward children. This prophecy begins with Oi, woe. This is a warning, a cautionary notice of impending trouble. To Ariel, the Lion of God, the Ark of God, and those gathered by God. There is a question as to whether or not it is Ariel or Eruel. If it is Ariel, it is the Lion of God, which is a synonym for Yehudim, Jews. If it is gathered by God, then it's a metaphor for Yisrael, those who engage and endure with God. There are those who say that Eri is the hearth of God, and then it's the warmth and light of Yahweh's Bereth, family home in Jerusalem. It is a compound of either Eri from the Masoretic text, the Lion of God. The lion is representative, again, of the tribe of Yehuda. Or from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is from 1QISA, is Aru, which is to behold, or Aaron, chest or ark of God. Now, both Eri, Eru, and Aaron are based upon Ara, those gathered by God, which is indicative of the chosen people, especially as they were gathered and taken home out of the crucibles of human oppression in Egypt. It goes on to say, Ariel, the Lion and Ark of God, as well as those gathered by God. Dode was loved and favored when he camped out for a while because of repetitively choosing to allow the feasts to run through their annual cycles year to year. So here's the most important, I think, one of the most revealing prophecies about the last days. And in addition to Ariel, which is symbolic of the chosen people, it's symbolic of Yehudim, symbolic of Yisrael, symbolic of the covenant and the Ark of God. There's only one individual's name who is listed. We're going to go through this entire prophecy. There's only one name. Dode. I dare say, if you want to understand the last days, you need to understand don't. Yahweh's made it perfectly clear. There is not a single prophecy that says that Yahusha, Christian Jesus, is going to return. In fact, Yahusha, the Christian Jesus, isn't mentioned by name in a single prophecy. But here's a prophecy, absolutely, unequivocally, talking about the last days, and it begins with Dod. Now, why would a prophecy regarding the last days not only speak about Dod, not only be addressed to Dod's people, but begin with Dod camping out and being loved and favored in Yehuda for having repetitively having chosen to allow the feast to run through their annual cycles? Why begin there if you're going to speak prophetically of the last days? That was 3,000 years ago.
But that's the goal. That's what he liked about him.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say there's something else here, which is that with all things Yah, what was will be.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand how and why Dod was loved and favored when he camped out with Yahweh, then perhaps you would be able to camp out with Yah. If you understand that God's idea of a great relationship was camping out and loving his son, Dod, in Yisrael, in Yehuda, in Jerusalem, on Mount Moriah, on the ridgeline of Zion, then you know where to look for him when he returns. If Yahweh is going to talk about the last days and begin with his wonderful relationship with Dod, then just perhaps since all things that were will be, it's Dod that's returning. That just as he began camping out with Dod, man's time on earth will conclude with Yahweh camping out with Dod. Perhaps it's because the reason that Dod was beloved is that he celebrated the Moed Mikre, these invitations to be called out and meet with God. He chose to allow the feast to run through their annual cycles. That's how we all get there. Perhaps it is because if you want to know the progression of time from Dod camping out with Yahweh all those 3,000 years ago to Yahweh's return with Dod, you ought to focus on the annual celebrations year to year of the feast. Because it was exactly 20 years from Dod laying the cornerstone of Yahweh's home on Moriah until the first four Moed Mikre were fulfilled on exactly that same place by Yosef for the Pesach lamb, Pesach Eel, by Yahweh's soul for matzah, by the set-apart spirit in Yahweh's soul for Bepurim, and by the set-apart spirit for Shavuah, all in this place. And of course, it will be in this place that Yahweh will call his covenant family home on Teruah. And it is upon this place and at the celebration of the Moed Mikre that Yahweh will celebrate Kippurim by returning with Dod, so that we all, as part of the covenant family, can camp out, be loved, be favored, along with Dod, beginning with Sukkah, in your 6,000 Yah. In other words, everything that we need to know about what follows, everything we need to know about what is important to Yah, when things happen in Yah's timeline, the motivation that Yahweh has, who Yahweh chooses to work with, how he accomplishes his goal, when he's going to do these amazing things, where he is going to do them, are all set up and established in the opening statement. That's a lot to convey.
Mm-hmm.
Though David, was chosen one, the declared Son of God, the anointed Messiah and King, Shepherd of Israel, is the most important Yehud Jew who ever lived. He is likely the most articulate and brilliant prophet in human history. He, of course, lived on Mount Moriah, just below Yahweh's home in Jerusalem. As the Lion of Judah, as the embodiment of the covenant, as the one who gathered God's people into a single nation, he is the living manifestation of Ariel and Aruah. The more we learn from the Torah and prophets, the more we come to appreciate the beloved's role in guiding God's people, enlightening them, protecting them, calling them home. Within 13 years of us presenting this particular program in the summer of 2020, Doe David will return with Yahweh to transform the earth such that it reflects the conditions that were enjoyed in Eden 6,000 years ago. The reference to the feast running through their annual cycles year to year is prophetic of the fact that Dode's return with Yahweh will be on Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, such that 5 days later, on Sukkah, not only will God camp out with us, they collectively will restore and perfect the earth. Yahweh has brought us to this place by fulfilling the first 5 Moed Mikre invitations to be called out and meet, a Pesach, Masav, and Bikurim, followed by Shavuah. He did so 2,000 years ago, and of course soon, Teruah. The reason that Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, is the 6th of the 7 Moed Mikre is that the restoration of Yahweh's relationship with Israel and Israelites as well as Yehudim has not yet occurred and will not transpire until the year 6000 Yah, which is in the fall of 2033. Between now and then, through the enduring words of his prophets, Yahweh said, "Therefore, I will incessantly and emphatically nag Ariel, the Lion of God, the Ark of God, and those gathered by God." Yes, my friends, it actually says nag. God is pleading with his people. He wants them to return. He wants them to come home. He wants them to stop being religious. He wants them to start embracing the covenant relationship. His testimony is clear and compelling. The failure to connect is ours alone. Did you ever think you'd hear God said, "I am nagging my people"?
No.
That's what the word means. Suk. Even when oppressed, I will seek to influence, speaking clearly and loudly. So if you're not yet part of the covenant, please understand that between now and 2033, there shall be a limited time to approach and meet Yah. Then Ariel will exist for me and will approach me as if she were the Lion and the Ark of God and those gathered by God. Yes, God is nagging Yisrael, wanting Yisrael to wake up from their stupor, to return and be restored. This isn't going to go on incessantly. there is a very limited period of time. And it isn't just the fact that in 2020 we have a total of 13 years left. Because between now and then, there's going to be fewer and fewer choices. And more and more people are going to die. And so if you were to say, I've got 13 years left, I can wait till the last minute. I can continue to do whatever it is that I like to do. And, you know, and then in the end, I know what that time is. I'll make my choice. Well, the likelihood is you aren't going to survive.
I won't survive. No.
2030. But there's a much bigger issue than that. If what Yahweh was offering was deprivation, if he was asking you to give up something that was really worthwhile and really meaningful and was offering something that was only useful in the hereafter, you'd say, all right, motivation is, let me make it in by the skin of my teeth and, you know, I'll continue to do what I'm doing between now and then. But that just isn't the case. You know, we live an exceedingly duplicitous and counterproductive times. Almost everything in our world is upside down. You know, Leah mentioned to me the other day that the Atlantic wrote this article, and it was said this, that, and the other thing about Trump. Oh, I guess their big Atlantic was, the big thing was that Trump said that there's only losers in American cemeteries. He said nothing of the sort. The Atlantic has gone so zealous in their religious beliefs in socialist secular.
Hello?
I think he's been disconnected.
I was trying to figure out if I dropped or if he dropped.
No, it's we have not.
It's still showing on the board.
Huh?
But I have nothing. Give it a second, see if he can get it fixed. Maybe an issue with Blog Talk Radio, because notice since the show started, our listener count in the chat room is just going up like one person per second. We have supposedly over 650 people listening right now. I kind of doubt that. I can't even get a private message to pop up so I can mess it up. Oh, there it is. See if you'll see that, maybe. Maybe I'm going to try calling back in.
Should I go out and come back in, or just hold?
I don't think anything on our end. I think something might have dropped out his end.
Okay.